From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, February 16th. Coming up, we'll learn how opposing political views can trigger conflict between people in romantic relationships. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The state of Illinois and Cook County are partnering to spend another $250 million to care for migrants being sent to Chicago. Alex Degman reports.
The bulk, $182 million, would come from the state to be spent on shelter, health care, and wraparound services. Governor J.B. Pritzker will ask state lawmakers for the money next week during his annual budget address. Republicans, predictably, are against that idea.
Absolutely ridiculous.
State Representative Adam Niemerg thinks the southern border needs to be closed, while House Minority Leader Tony McCombie says this would squeeze out other priorities.
4 weeks ago, the governor did not have money for basic care for our developmentally disabled. But now he has $182 million burning a hole in his pocket.
Cook County would offer up to $70 million. The city of Chicago is not allocating anything as part of this plan. I'm Alex Degman.
More than 150 people rallied with the Teamsters Union outside of the Illinois Department of Transportation headquarters in Springfield this week. The union represents 3,800 IDOT employees, and 95% of them voted last week to authorize a strike. Mike Foster is the Highway Systems Manager for the state of Illinois. He says IDOT employees are asking for better insurance coverage and wages.
The other issue is starting pay at IDOT is borderline minimum wage for a minimally qualified engineering tech. And some folks could go to a fast food place and actually earn more money than starting at IDOT.
Foster says IDOT should take a deeper look at how it can attract employees and keep them. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker will give his State of the State address next week, and the comptroller who handles the state's financial accounts has a few budget requests. Mawa Iqbal has more.
Comptroller Susana Mendoza manages the state's $2 billion rainy day fund, a reserve to keep the state running through unforeseen revenue declines. Mendoza wants the governor to prioritize putting any new available money towards the fund.
Hold the line on any, you know, kind of non-essential new spending, right? So that's a good formula for success, is to err on the side of being conservative with our budget estimates.
Mendoza says Pritzker should also work to pay off the state's $142 billion pension debt. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Illinois' U.S. senators are urging the Biden administration to step up efforts to secure the release of hostages held by Hamas in Gaza. IPM Washington, D.C. correspondent Linda Kenyon has the story.
The Biden administration has been working with contacts in Israel and Qatar to try to win the release of the hostages, but it has been a very difficult task. Now, Illinois Democratic Senators Tammy Duckworth and Dick Durbin are joining their Senate colleagues in expressing their urgent support for more diplomatic efforts. Their call carries some weight, since Senator Duckworth is a combat veteran with a firsthand understanding of the conditions of war, and Senator Durbin is the second highest-ranking member of the Democratic majority. The last deal that secured the release of 105 hostages lasted just 1 week. Senators are pushing for a longer pause this time, saying without it, humanitarian conditions for Palestinian civilians in Gaza will worsen, and more innocent people, including children, will die. In Washington, D.C., Linda Kenyon, IPM News.
The Fighting Illini women's basketball team defeated the Penn State Nittany Lions on the road last night, 86-71. Illinois had five players score over 10 points, led by Adelia McKenzie's 18 points. The Illini have an overall record of 12-12 and are 6-8 in Big Ten conference play. Illinois will host the Indiana Hoosiers next on Monday, February 19th at 1 p.m. Still to come, we'll learn how opposing political views can trigger conflict between people in romantic relationships. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on the 21st Show, our Friday news roundups. This week, an update on the federal courts, where a former top Democratic staffer was sentenced for lying to a grand jury, a former Democratic lawmaker was convicted for tax fraud, and people are still being charged for their role in the January 6th insurrection. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. News media can trigger conflict between people in romantic relationships if they have opposing political views. A University of Illinois associate professor has been studying the impacts. Emily Van Doon started her research during the 2020 election. So far, she has interviewed 67 people with varying political beliefs and gender and sexual orientations. Illinois Student Newsroom's Alyssa Eaton sat down with Van Doon to learn more.
From the overall findings of your study, would you say that most people are deciding to stop consuming news altogether, or are they doing it in a secretive way? What are you seeing the most of?
I heard both. I had respondents who were talking about, can't watch the news in the same room as my spouse, or I could literally hear my spouse, coming up the driveway and would rush to turn off the news. And so a lot of it was, how public is the news that you're consuming? Are you sharing a space with somebody? And how much do you feel like this is driving conflict in the relationship? Because that certainly motivates people to turn off news when they hear their spouse coming down the driveway, because it is such a conflictual thing. But I also heard people who talked about, social media news sharing. Like, some people would try and share articles back and forth with one another, and that became a point of conflict. So even like news consumption that's very much in private, we do that on our social media platforms, or we connect to articles that way. For couples who are trying to engage or share those with one another, it can become a point of conflict where it becomes where they can't engage with news at all, even if it's, sharing an article or watching news in a separate room.
Could you tell me a little bit more about the emotional aspect of this study? Did people really go into that at all? What were some of the findings from that?
Yeah, it's really hard. It can be, there's so much to say that over time our political identities have become social identities. And, we don't just identify with a party. We are now in social groups that also share a partisanship. So, of course, that's really kind of threatening if the person that you're potentially, some of them are spending the rest of their lives with them, someone you're considering spending the rest of your life with, potentially raising children or raising children with them. These are people you're supposed to really be aligned with. So it was very hard for some of these people to reconcile, I believe this thing and my partner believes this. And what does that tell me about our difference in values or our difference in morals? So all of this is very much tied to emotion and feeling like your partner understands you or at least sees the world in the same way that you do, which matters specifically for a romantic partner, because that's somebody who is intimate with you in so many different ways, somebody you're going to potentially build a life with, which is just, it's just different than, somebody on Facebook or a random friend that you have.
Did any of the couples share what they are doing to grapple with these differences?
Yeah, different strategies work for different people. Avoidance can be good, right? There's some research that says actually topic avoidance can be really helpful if it is a stress point in the relationship. The problem comes when that avoidance is around a topic that is very much tied to who you are. And for some of these couples, they strongly identify in their political beliefs. And so to avoid talking about a whole part of yourself can actually be almost more damaging than avoiding, the nitty-gritty conversation with your partner. So I think, figuring out what's important to you, recognizing it matters, and then setting some really intentional boundaries around what are you going to allow, what are you not going to allow, and then finding common ground. I think that tends to work really well when you're able to say, hey, look, what I'm hearing is we both agree on this value. We just are approaching it differently. Let's recognize that we both agree on that. Right. That can be a really helpful conversation point if it starts to get really heated.
That's U of I Associate Professor of Communications Emily Van Doon speaking with Illinois Student Newsroom's Alyssa Eaton. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be cloudy with snow likely and a high of 32 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Alex Degman, Colin Highslope, Linda Kenyon, and Alyssa Eaton. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.